Well, good evening, Harvest family. We've got a little, the Lord was good to us and brought a little wind to cool things off, didn't he? Brought a little dust to go along with it. That's closest that Michelle and I, since we've been here, to see any type of a dust storm, and it was good to be on the inside when it took place. And I don't know what my yard's going to look like when I get home, but I guess I'll find that out in about an hour, hour and a half, we'll find out. But as long as the house is still standing, I'm still good. Amen. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. Let's go ahead and stand together. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and Brother Sam will make his way to for our opening song tonight. Brother Mike Cherry, will you open us in prayer? Your Bibles tonight in the book of Acts chapter 2, and we'll read the text a little bit later after my introduction, Acts chapter 2, and we'll continue with our series on the local church. And I don't know if my voice is going to hold up tonight. And we'll be talking about laymen in the local church over the next couple Sundays, evenings. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, and we'll read our text here in just a few moments. Yes, please forgive me. I want to put a lozenge in my throat if it'll help me, but it's the number one rule in speech when I learned in school, don't brush your teeth before you speak and don't have something in your mouth while you're talking. But that's all. I have some. Thank you. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, I pray that you help me tonight. Lord, I know I have a little bit of difficulties with my eyes tonight as well as my throat. I pray that you help me to be able to get past those things tonight just for a few moments, Lord, that we might glean some things from the scriptures. We might be challenged from them. Father, again, we thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for the manual that you've given us, not only in life, but Lord, also in your church, the bride of Christ, and help us to honor those things as we learn and do our best that we can to support and to love and encourage our church. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior. Amen. I really believe with all in my heart that what is true about the physical family, mine and your family, is also true of the church. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 127 and verse 1, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Let me just make a little change here, and I don't think it'll do any harm for scripture, but unless the Lord builds a church, they labor in vain that build it as well. God ordained and established the home. God has ordained and established a local church, and there are some similarities and there are some likeness in that, but again, unless the Lord builds the church, unless the Lord builds the family, they labor in vain. And as we have heard repeatedly in this series over the last several weeks, how wonderful it would be if we could all be filled with overflowing with a profound sense of the glory of the church as God sees it. Nobody's perfect. And we are people in a church made up of imperfect people, but our likeness and a commonality is Christ, and looking to make sure it's the best thing for the church, for the local body. See, many of our problems within the local church would be solved immediately if we all shared God's perspective. And the best way to be able to do that is to know what he says in his word. Last year, as I mentioned this morning, we talked about the role and responsibilities of pastors and deacons, and we may circle back to that a little bit later in the series, but I want to go ahead and write tonight and focus on the other side of the coin, so to say, to include the membership of the church. The members of the church are called laymen. They come from all walks of life, week after week, out of the arena of life's trials and heartache, they come to church. They come into the house of God to get a breath of spiritual fresh air. And let me add a little comment there. I so appreciate my pastor. And so many things I've learned from him by just observing, and other things at times is sitting down and having a conversation over a cup of coffee, at a meal, or out door knocking. But I always comes back to mind when he reminds me, church is important. Attendance is important. And as a pastor, he said, don't forget what they come here for. Don't forget they're coming to be refreshed, to be encouraged, and at times to be challenged. And sometimes even they'll face conviction. Pray that God gives you the wisdom as you preach and teach to realize what people are receiving is the same thing you received when you were sitting on the other side. The same thing that went through your mind when you were preparing the sermon. Sometimes God will put a name through your mind and you're preparing a sermon and you're wondering, well, will they take it the wrong way? Remind yourself, if you can do it with a tear in your eye, with all sincerity and your love for them, and God brought them to mind, maybe it's because they need it, they need the encouragement, or they need the challenge. As your pastor, I know what it's like to sit there. I know what it's like to come to church being exhausted, and I hope I can stay awake, but it's the right thing for me to be here because others are watching me. I know those, and I know it can be at times, and I try to be careful not to prolong or to stretch out the sermons. I've learned to do part 1, 2, 3, and sometimes 5 as needed. I know your time is important, but also remember your pastor's time is important. His preparation is important. His time that he shares from the heart, and as you trust your pastor and love your pastor, knowing he's trying to do what's best. Again, they come into the house of God to get a breath of spiritual fresh air. And that breath of fresh air should not always have to come from the pulpit. It also should come through the fellowship time, before church, after church, and during our greeting time. They come into the house of God to hear from God, to hear spiritual instruction on how to handle life's trials and life's heartaches. Let me ask you, Mr. and Mr. Layman, just how important is a local church to you and your family? How important is Harvest Baptist Church? Because that's where you're at today. You may be somewhere else if job changes you, you relocate, but for now where you're at, how important is it to you? Should there be more involvement than just sitting in a pew for an hour or so once a week? Most can find a wide variety of religious programs on radio or TV in their home. Many of them are still doing that because of the force of COVID. Some of them still haven't got out of the aspect of getting out of house and into a church. And I don't want to get stray off on this, but let me vent just a moment. I just don't understand how people can sit in their living room or come to a church and watch a pastor who's never there on a screen and think that it's church or think that it's a biblical local church. Where is the shepherd? Where are the people? How do you have it if you're at home and not in the church? Don't misunderstand. We make it available online for those who can't always be there. I know that my parents can't always be there, but I'm talking about the ones who can be there and be a part, because the layman, the laity of the local church is just important as a pastor. We are here to serve one another, to be involved and to give back and not just to come and sit and to soak. Most can find a wide variety, as I mentioned, on TV. Many will go to worship service, but will remain detached from any serious commitment to the local church that they attend. Others, unable to settle down, will drift from church to church. Let me say this as well. If you don't have a church home, get one and get in. It's that important. Would you spend the night at a different home every night? Hello? No, it's what God has designed for his people to be a part of, to have fellowship and to be with, and not only to receive a blessing, but to be a blessing as well. Others, again, drift. We truly live in a time of confusion about the place and the purpose of the local church, and confusion about the place and the purpose of laymen. It's not all about the preacher. It's not all about the deacons. It's all about honoring God in a place that he has designed and leadership that he has designed. We all have a role and a part that we play in the local church. Mr. and Mrs. Pewsitter would not be a title that we should strive for or to get comfortable with. We shouldn't be satisfied with just coming in and checking a box and being in my seat and then moving on. We should come with the aspect and the idea, I'm here to worship. I'm not only here to receive, but I'm also here to give, to be a blessing, to be an encouragement. You may be thinking, Pastor, just what is our place within the local church? Obviously, it's more than just sitting here. It's obviously just more than just showing up. According to God's word, what are the privileges and responsibilities of the church membership? Have you ever sat down and opened your Bible or just sat down over time of prayer and said, Lord, what are my responsibilities in my local church? Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? Lord, how can I be the best church member that I can be? How can I play the role that you would have me to play, which you've designed for me in my church? Over the coming weeks, we will focus on four areas of responsibility for laymen, but tonight we'll look at just one. Number one. Laymen must have a personal, spiritual involvement in the local church. Involvement. Would anybody care to just to take a moment and tell me what you think that means to be involved in your local church? Anybody? Ministry that you have that you can offer to other people. Anyone else? Michelle? Financial support, giving of our tithes and offerings. Anyone else? That's on my list. We'll get to that in a moment. Anyone else? Brother John? Using your talent for singing or ministering. There's things that have how we can be involved. We don't have to come to just sit and be involved or think, how can I be involved? How can I give back? I learned a long time ago, it's better to be involved in some capacity, to have an attachment that you have a longing to be there, because I have a responsibility. I have a role. I have a part in my local church. Let's look at our text in Acts chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Let me stop there for a moment. That was a time there. That was some of their tradition with their culture. I'm never going to ask you to sell your home, your car, your possessions to give an offering. But what I want to point out in that, they were willing to do what needed to be done to help another brother in need. Maybe giving a little extra, slipping a $5 bill, helping someone out and filling up their gas tank or getting groceries, whatever it may be. But having that sensitivity of being willing to be a blessing and a help to those who are in need. Verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The early church was made up of people who were, letter A, were saved and baptized. It's hard to be involved and be committed, first of all, if you don't know the one who you're being committed to. To be saved and baptized. We go on. I know that we all understand that. I don't believe that there is any debate in this. Number two, or letter B, evangelistic. The early church was made up of people that were saved and baptized, but also that were evangelistic. All throughout the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, you can see the early church members carrying out the Great Commission by winning the lost to Christ. At church, any church built by Christ will have a strong emphasis on evangelism. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we have invitation cards to give to people, to leave at restaurants, to invite people to church to be a part of going out. That's why I encourage you to befriend others and invite them to church and encourage them to come out. Hey, that doesn't mean they're going to come, but it means you're obedient and has done what God has asked you to do. The people of the church will penetrate the community with the gospel message if they're evangelistic. The message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Witnessing to neighbors, co-workers, other parents in the community, local professionals. In fact, everyone you meet is a personal responsibility to Mr. and Mrs. Layman, to Mr. and Mrs. Pastor. Let me explain your God-given responsibility in another way. This means Christ uses the faithful witness of Christians on his behalf to build his church. God uses us to give out the gospel. He uses us to build the church. And we are to be not only saved and baptized, we are to be evangelistic. I know sometimes it can be scary. I know sometimes it can be difficult. But it doesn't take a whole lot to leave a track at a restaurant. Doesn't take a whole lot to put a track on the table to conveyor belts at the Walmarts or at the Fry's or whatever and invite someone to church. I know they have to work. They don't have time. They don't need to hear a big spiel. In fact, I don't think it would be too bad of a deal as well as every once in a while when you're bagging your groceries, if you have an empty bag there at the grocery store, to go ahead and drop a track invitation in the bag for the next customer. You don't have to be the one inviting them to church. It can be a card. Hey, that's a good idea. Next time you go to Walmart, open up those, after you get all your groceries, open those bags and just drop an invitation and get your receipt and make your way out. The next person might be glad if they're looking for a local church. Some years ago, and I need to move on, but real quickly. Some years ago, I listened to a video, and I know I've shared this before. I think it fits really well on this aspect of being evangelistic and not having to necessarily be on the streets or being confrontational, just however the Lord uses you. But this meeting was of pastors in Australia. And it was pastors and evangelists from all over the world that came to Australia. And to make a long story short, he asked for anyone in the congregation, many of them mostly being pastors and missionaries, by chance. And does anyone here ever trust Christ because someone simply gave you a track and walked away? Or someone left a track somewhere for you to pick up? Or someone just gave you a track on the street and continued on to someone else? And you took that literature and you read it and you later trusted Christ? several pastors and missionaries stood in the auditorium. The gentleman who was leading the service was so shocked at it that he rescheduled some things and said, let's take a moment and ask some of these men. I'm talking about hundreds of men, but several, maybe 10, 20, 25 that stood. And each, many of them, not all of them, several of them said this, I was a businessman in Chicago. Out in the Windy City, I was walking from one building to the next, heading to the bank, heading to my next building, and a short white-haired man just simply gave me a tract and said, God bless you, I hope you'll take the time to read it, and went on. Of those 25 or 30 preachers standing, about 10 of those said, that same white-haired man in Chicago gave me a tract that I later read, trusted Christ, and later was called to preach, and I'm here today. Because of that individual. You say, preacher, boy, what a coincidence. Well, I don't think there's any coincidence with God. We do not know how God uses us. And we may never know until we get to heaven of the fruit that abounds because of we gave someone a tract, or we were kind to someone, or we invited them to church. I even believe if you invite someone to Harvest Baptist Church, and they get up on a Sunday morning and they're lost and they can't remember the name of the church you invited them to, so they just decided to go, well, it was something Baptist, and they went to a different church and got saved, I still think there's fruit on your account. Because God used your efforts to draw them to be in church somewhere to hear the gospel. Laymen and being involved in the church, saved and baptized, evangelistic, and letter C, worshipful. Worshipful. The members of the early church worshiped God. They set their focus on God. There was a sense of worship, not, I believe, that is often seen today. Oh, be sure, many, many folks come to church, but do they come prepared to worship God? Why do we come to church? Again, I'll get back to one of my sports analogies. I can remember growing up and going and being involved in baseball and football. Mostly baseball was my passion. And always being involved and practicing at home and doing things. And often dad, if he could get away from work, or he would tell my mom, now you make sure Junior gets there early enough to warm up before others get there and the coaches get there so he'll be ready for practice. And he would tell me, son, if there's no one else out there, run laps. Run up, get your body warmed up, get ready for practice. Somebody else is there, see if they'll throw the ball around with you a little bit. Just get ready for practice. Folks, I tell you, when I went to ball practice and did that, when I went to football practice, I showed up with my pads and my helmet. Come on. I wasn't going to go out there and play full contact without any pads on at all. When I went to baseball practice, I had my ball and glove, and eventually one day I was able to save the money and buy the bat that I wanted. I went with the gear and the things that I needed for practice. When I went to school, even though I wanted to ditch my books in the ditch until I got home, I went to school with my books. I went prepared. How do we come to church? Do we come prepared? Have we prayed before we arrived? Do we pray the night before? Do we spend some time asking the Lord to use the Sunday school teacher, use the pastor? Lord, help me to be a blessing to someone. Don't raise your hand. I'm going to simply ask you, when's the last time you prayed before coming to church and said, Lord, help me to be a blessing? Or is it always as the world, oh, Lord, I hope somebody's a blessing to me. I hope I get something out of it. Folks, when you go to the bank to get something out of it, it's because you'd already put something in it. If you're going to get something spiritual out of the spiritual bank, we got to put something in it so we can make that withdrawal. Do you come to church to sing and give testimony of Christ working in your life? Do you come to church to get something from God for your souls? I'm not talking, there's nothing wrong with giving back and getting, but do we come prepared in a sense, Lord, open my heart, open my mind, help me to get something for the word that I can use to better, effective minister to someone. But instead, there are some that come to church because they want somebody to preach them in one, want somebody to fix them in one sermon. I've got needs. I'm hurting. Well, I hope I can go to church and get something out of it. I need something. Well, I hope you do get something in that sense. But you come prepared to receive and to give back. I discover that the present day average church setting is man-centered, not God-centered. Shouldn't be centered around the pastor, around the music, around the beautiful building, but it should be centered on God, on who is here And by the way, he's not just here, he's with us, but you know what I mean. That we're coming here for a purpose to worship. It seems to be more concerned, I guess, with what people desire, not what God commands. Again, is it about us or is it what God wants? Again, this present day church, it seems to exist for people's sake rather than for God's sake. It seems to be a place where people want their needs met rather than serving for the sakes of others. If the phrase meeting their needs means we need to satisfy spiritual hunger, then it's a very good expression. But I think sometimes it's taken far beyond that. Everyone should be in a Christian community where his or her spiritual needs are being addressed. And sometimes those needs are being challenged. Sometimes those needs are being a little bit provoked or agitated to good works. Many are reaching for self-centered goals and not spiritual goals. When I was a boy growing up, it was not uncommon on every single week that we would stand in the doorway of the kitchen between the dining room and the kitchen, and Dad would have a ruler and he would mark of how tall we were and put our little initials. We wanted to do it every day as kids. We wanted to see if we grew. We always wanted to. Daddy would say, no, take off your shoes, boys. Stand flat-footed. It was more of a once-a-month thing, and he would date it. Have we seriously opened the Bible or spent time in prayer and said, Lord, help me with my spiritual growth? How do I measure up? Am I closer to you today than I was yesterday? Am I more like you today than I was last year? If the church does not fulfill certain expectations, wants, and preferences, again, I'm talking about the man-centered, then they choose to move on to another emotional department store with different merchandise, more appealing to their fleshly taste. I went online this past week and watched some of the super mega churches that are non-denominational, dropped off names, don't want to be identified with anything. And most of them, a lot of them have their rock concerts and then they have their message. And I listened to a few of them. And purposely, I listened to many of them that had the same theme of their message. Many of them sounded very similar, had decent support scripture as well, and the same theme, but a different way that they presented it. But I also noticed that it seemed to be more of a TED talk, a motivational speech to encourage them or to tickle those ears or to be more man-centered. And I didn't notice too many of them that would bring it around to an end to make sure they make sure that Christ is in the center and he is a reason for all these things and how we meet these needs. It was more of a self-motivational, pick up yourself by your bootstraps. God was given no credit. We need to make sure that churches that we're involved with are back to and stick to the basics of the Word of God. Again, many are reaching for self-centered goals and not spiritual goals. Whatever happened to the attitude in a Christian's heart of, I'd like to be a part of the congregation because I can contribute to meet its needs? Or, I've heard this so many times through the years, well, what does the church have to offer me and my family? I've gotten to the point where, well, what do you have to offer us? Are you going to come and sit and soak and absorb everything? Or are you going to get involved? Are you going to minister? What is your desire in ministry? How do you see yourself fitting in to minister to other people? Again, that emotional department store. Ran across an article recently I read and cut and pasted it to my notes here. I'd like to read it. The user-friendly, entertainment-oriented, market-driven, pragmatic churches will probably continue to flourish for a while. Unfortunately, however, the whole movement is based on current fashion and therefore cannot last long. When the fickle winds finally change and one of three things may happen. These churches will fall out of vogue and wane, or they will opt to change with the spirit of the age and very likely abandon any semblance of biblical Christianity, or they will see the need to rebuild on a more sure foundation. Dear friends, That's why I don't see the need to change my position or the church's position on solid, conservative, biblical principles. The Word of God still changes lives. The Word of God still works on the inside out. I know we may have, at times we may give a hamburger or two away to get people to come in, but it shouldn't be about all what I can get. It shouldn't be all about the entertainment. It shouldn't be, I don't want to become the flavor of the week or the month because some exciting things are happening, unless it's all about people being saved and their lives being changed. I scratch my head, and I'm just being very open and honest about some of the new church plants, and I've read a few recently of the new church plants where people come in and they've got a team. God bless them. Boy, it'd be wonderful to get set up and have a team and have 20 people and a choir there automatically, special music and a piano player for your first service. And I read and they have these wonderful turnouts of 50 to 100 or 200 people on their grand opening. Often it's because of social media, advertisement, branding themselves, getting the word out. And there's a group out here and a group in our country and our land that want to go and gravitate to what's new and shiny. You know, ladies, how it is when that new tool comes out and your husband wants to go down to Home Depot or to Lowe's and got to have that new shiny tool. It's almost like, wait a minute, you've already got one of those. Yeah, but this, it's got more oomph in it. It's got more power in it. Glad you know what I'm talking about with us guys. And there's a group of people the same way that want to go to the place that is new. I went back on some of those churches. I went back to see a year later, 2 years later, to see how they're doing. Some of them are doing well. But most of them have a fraction of how many people showed up for that opening grand day service. Because the people were coming for the wrong idea. Well, we advertise. Come to, see it here in the valley, come to the new grand opening of the church. Why not? If you love Jesus and you want to worship God, come join us at, in the name of the church. Thoughts and ideas and gimmicks and branding and all these things have their place, but we got to make sure the focus is still on the biblical principles of the Word of God and center and built around Him and not an individual. You ever notice through the years how churches that grow and are doing really well, but for some reason or another, the pastor leaves and goes somewhere else and the church begins to wane off? Is it because it's built on him, his personality, his thing? I understand a personality of a pastor will draw some people, but hopefully it's the Word of God and the teaching and the discipleship and the grounding and the mentoring that will keep people there and not keep coming for the pastor. Friend, we are here to worship God, not to satisfy the ever-changing impulse of man, but to worship God. Letter D, giving. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay aside in him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Here our pastor says, upon the first day of the week, each one of us is to bring our tithes into the storehouse, which today is the local church. Now, I understand, you know, we all have a responsibility before God to give unto him within the local church. Some of us get paid weekly, some get monthly, some bi-monthly, but I think the principle here is that we are giving. And doesn't mean that we give if we happen to be here, but, well, I missed because I was on vacation, but I really needed that money for that meal. No. It's whether you're here or not, we owe that unto the Lord. And we are grateful here of a giving people at Harvest. But we wonder sometimes, I can't help, of churches that struggle financially. Is it because the people are giving? Is God going to put people in the church and have a place where the funds aren't there available if people give? It is, our God-given responsibility. If every Christian was honest before God, no church would ever have a problem meeting the church budget regardless of vacation, time, retirement, or a change of work schedule, or if everyone gave biblically. God bless the layman that has a personal, spiritual involvement in the local church. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. I don't want to meddle, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I have no idea what I'm going to do in retirement. I have no idea what's going to take place. Am I giving? Am I income? What's going on? But I learned something a long time ago. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if it's been deposited in my account, God's getting at least 10% of it. Period. In fact, before taxes, for me, God gets it. I give an offering every Sunday night that's above my tithe because I know somewhere through the week God has blessed me, somebody bought me a meal, or this take place. I just want to thank God and give something back. Whether it be my tithe, and by the way, I don't like our offering envelopes. I don't. I'm a little different. On our offering envelopes, it says offering. I scratch it out and I write tithe every week that I give. That's just because that's what I believe. It belongs to God. It's not mine. I'm just carrying what he has blessed me with. Me and Michelle's always given before taxes. I know when I retire, if I have no other income but Social Security, there'll be others that think, well, you've already tithed on that. You know, my giving, it's been pretty good. I ain't going to quit. I'm just going to keep doing it. And that's for me. That's for my conscience and how I see it. I give everything that God had blessed us with. I want to give back to God. And through the years, he has blessed me and he's provided and he has met our needs. And I don't know how God's going to do it, but I'm not going to worry about it. Not one bit, because I know he has taken care of me through the years. He's taken care of me in times when we're unemployed. Bear with me one more minute. I remember being in a church, and I've mentioned this before, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story. Michelle and I was in the other building. The new building that just finished, that I was in charge of working with the contractors, getting it built, getting it finished, getting inspected, and being there every day to make sure that things were being done. It was finished. We were out there. And pastor was in the other building. It was on a Wednesday night. And the pastor announced my resignation. I didn't even know I was resigning. Came out and people were crying and boo-hooing. Wondering, oh, we're going to miss you. And I'm like, were you really? One of the deacons come by and hugged my neck, Brother Gary, and said, are you leaving? And I said, no, but I guess I am now. We didn't say a word. We hugged necks. I wasn't going to cause a disruption and make a fuss of it. I look back sometimes and I wonder if I did the right thing or not. But we went home that night, Michelle and I talked, and we cried. We called a realtor the next day and put our house up for sale. The realtor somehow found out that it wasn't actually our desire. We didn't badmouth the church, the pastor, but she realized and she said, you haven't been in this home very long. I'm just not sure. She knew I was a pastor, a preacher at that time on staff, and had a good heart. She said, you know, if this is what you think God wants and this is what you're going to do, let me sell your house for you and I'll do it on 3% and I'll worry about the buyer and realtor. You don't worry about them. I thought, wow. We packed up everything, and we lived in a tent for how long, Michelle? Long time, almost the whole summer. We lived in a tent. We were homeless. But you know, our kids never knew. They thought we were on an adventure because we were determined that we were going to honor God, and not just in our giving and not just in our service, but everything in our life. We went camping, found places to pitch a tent. It was hot, so we went up north, escaped the heat. We had marshmallows and s'mores. And you think, well, preacher, where did the money come from? With a little bit of money in the savings and a little bit of money that we made from the house because of a generosity of a realtor that allowed us to live off those till God moved us and put us in another place. I don't know if my kids know fully today what happened and why we left. Dear friends, I'm telling you, and I'm convinced, and you can't tell me otherwise, God blesses our faithfulness. God gives us the liberty to not only give, but as we talked about this morning, God gives us the liberty of joy and of worship. Are you involved? Are you saved and baptized? Are you evangelistic? Do you try to be evangelistic? Are you worshipful? Do you worship? Do you come to church to truly to participate, to be involved and to worship the Lord in your style? I had somebody ask me, well, preacher, what is this worship? Does it mean raising my hands and doing this? And I just smiled and said, no, ma'am. It means just enjoying yourself and let the Spirit of the Lord guide you. Whether you sing a little louder, say amen, raise your hand, just enjoy yourself. And then I asked her, have you ever been to a ball game? Yes, sir. I said, what did you do there? Did you get excited if someone hit a home run? Did you get excited when your grandson made it to first base instead of running to third base, he went to first base first? We've all been there with the kids. And I think the light came on, she says, I think I understand. We ought to enjoy our church. We ought to enjoy the services. We ought to even act like we are enjoying our services. I said, yes, ma'am, I think you're on your way to understanding what worship is all about. And then are we giving? Not just of our income, but of our time, of our talent. Anything that we can give back to help our church, help our congregation in any way. Any way that we can be a blessing is a form of some aspect of giving. Let's do our part. Ask yourself, and I challenge you once again, are you involved? Are you playing the role of a biblical layman in your local church? Let's pray. Father, we love you and do thank you for your goodness and your blessings and the joy of service, the joy of fellowship, Father. Help us, Lord, no matter what happens in our life, no matter how we're treated, to remind ourselves, it's not about me, though it hurts. It's not about me, though it embarrassed me. It's not about me, though it was awkward. Father, help me to get past those emotions and feelings and remember that it's all about you. It's all about ministering to others. It's all about going and seeing what God has for me today with my church family. Father, help us to be not just involved, but Father, sold out, fully involved to the best of our potential, to the best of our ability, how we can serve and how we can be involved. Father, again, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right. As always, God loves you.